Well, what I want to talk to you about now is about copy, but not about copy. When I was very young, when I first started in the direct marketing business, I'd been a creative director for a bit, and then I decided I wanted to go into direct marketing. And as chance would have it, I couldn't afford an art director. So I had to learn how to do my own layouts. And because I didn't have a clue what I was doing, I did what I always recommend to everyone else. I copied. I looked at other layouts, layouts that seemed to me to be simple and worked effectively, because I was studying all the advertising I could see. And I noticed that most of them had a very, very simple format. They had a picture at the top and they had words underneath, you know, and they had a headline. And what astonishes me is that a surprising number of people, I would say the majority of people who run advertisements now, not the majority, the vast majority, don't have a bloody clue about how to lay things out. And if you don't have a bloody clue about how to lay things out, you're in serious trouble. You're in serious trouble because no matter how magic your words are, if nobody reads them, well, you're in serious trouble. You know, you might just as well never have bothered. And I started studying this seriously somewhat later than... I'm telling a lie, actually. I started studying it very, very early. I do bullshit. I'm sorry about this. My memory is appalling. I started really being interested in layout in my first job as a creative director, which would be 1964. And I do recall that what I used to do is I looked at old advertisements and I looked at old typefaces, and I got interested in typefaces. And I'm pleased to say that nobody gives a damn, but I was one of the first people in this country, in Britain, to start using a typeface which hadn't been used for decades, for 50 or 60 years, a typeface called Cheltenham Bold, which is a very, very strong typeface. Anyhow, so I was very interested in layouts. And what's interesting to me, fascinating to me, almost mystifying to me, is that most art directors, they're the people who are in charge of the pictures, don't know anything about what makes it easy to communicate. They are far too interested in doing stuff that looks fantastic, looks different, looks unusual, this, that and the other. The job of the art director was well put by one of the great typographers of the 20th century, a chap called Morrison, who said that the words should never be arranged in such a way as to get between the meaning and the read, get between the reader and the meaning. And an awful lot of words are arranged just like that. They make it difficult to read. So what I did a few years ago was I put together a series of layouts and copy to try and explain to people what makes your words easy to read. Imagine, for instance, that you've written some fantastic copy, but only half the people that read it find it easy to follow or comprehend. What can that do to your layout? What can that do to your sales? Well, I can tell you what it can do to your sales. It can halve them. Because David Ogilvy, whom I keep on mentioning, once wrote to a charity, actually a charity who became clients of mine, and said, if you will lay your copy out in a different way, you will get many more responses. And they did what he told them to do, and they got twice as many responses. So if you'd like to get twice as many responses to your copy, you need to know about layout. And I'm going to show you exactly where you can halve your responses or double your responses, depending on how you lay something out. So let's start by looking at what we call the classic layout. You see there's a picture at the top, there's somebody in there. That's always a good idea. If you put faces in, people look at faces. There is a caption, and the caption is there because captions are almost as heavily read as headlines. There are lots of figures bandied about, but broadly speaking, 8 out of 10 people will never get beyond the headline in an ad. Okay? That's why the headline's so important. 6 out of 10 will read the caption, so never have a picture without a caption. So I'm just going to point out some of the things that make this layout very effective. You see, the next thing is a subhead. As I say in the copy, it makes it easier for people to get into the copy. I always think it's a bit like an hors d'oeuvre in a meal. And then you see there is a big D there, a dropped initial cap. That will increase readership. You will see that the paragraphs are relatively short. You will see that there are crossheads which tell the story. They tell the story more or less so that people can glance, hover over the copy and decide whether they want to read or not. If they know what the story is about, they will see that there is a coupon there. This is an advertisement. And the reason that there is a coupon there, and it's very bold, is that the bolder the coupon, the more replies you get. This means that if you're not having a coupon, which most ads don't have a coupon nowadays, they send you to a website, make sure your website address is very bold. You'll see also that the layout has got narrow columns. This is because have a look at me now. I look like one of those nodding dogs in the back of a motor car. Have you seen them? Yeah? People have. If the copy is set to a long line, more than about 50 characters, it's hard for people to take in by running their eyes down the line. So that's why you have narrow columns. Now, let's look at all the other things that the examples I've given. But first of all, Please, don't just look what I've showed you. Please read it, because the copy that I wrote there quite a few years ago, I wrote simply because I had seen some very, very interesting research. It was done for the Newspaper Bureau of Australia by a professor at the University of South Wales called Colin Wealdon. Now, up to that time, and still to this day, I actually saw it yesterday looking at something on the internet. When people wanted to know about what typefaces or what layouts were most effective, they would go to respondents and they would ask them what they liked. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't give a damn what you like or what I like, or what my neighbour likes, or what my marketing director likes, or my client likes, or my art director likes, or my mother likes. All I care about is, did you find it easy to read and comprehend? And what Colin Wealdon did was, instead of asking people what they liked, he simply asked them to read things laid out in different ways, and then he simply asked them, number one, what do you think you've just read? In other words, how well did they comprehend what they had read? And then he asked them, how easy did they find it to read? Nothing else, nothing about it. Did they like the typeface? And that's the very important. It's the reason why every time you look at research into anything, yeah, not just this, anything, pay no attention to stuff that is just about people's opinions. Try to focus on things that revolve around what they did, what they understood, how they acted, not just whether they liked it or they didn't like it. The history of marketing is littered with examples of campaigns that won awards and blah de blah de blah de blah, but didn't sell a sausage. Yeah. So here we can see, here's another layout, and we can see that the copy is reversed out, white on black. This is very, very common. particularly on the internet. And let me tell you something, what I'm about to tell you, what I'm telling you now, applies on the internet as well. The same principles, and the reason for that is, this is probably going to amaze you, actually, when people look at a screen, their eyes work in the same way. They don't sort of switch over to something else, you know. They react in the same way, you know. There are certain factors, like the fact that you've got light coming up out from the screen, that influence things, but essentially your brain operates in the same way, your eyes operate in the same way. So this applies very much online as well. So what happens when you reverse that? You can see that response goes to hell and back. And what happened, the thing I referred to earlier, David Ogilvy saw some ads for Save the Children, and they were all reversed out. And he said, look, I'm not pitching for your account, I don't want your business, but I'd like to see you get some more money. Try setting these ads the right way around and see what happens. And what happened was they got twice as many donations. So if you want twice as many responses, don't set a lot of copy reversed out. Of course you can set a bit of copy reversed out for contrast, but not a lot of copy. It makes it hard work. Let's move to the next one. And I've already made this point to you, but you can see the headline where it says if you set your copy to a long measure, the eye has to go back and forth and so on. And I've given the example there of putting the coupon, as I always used to say, looking as though an elephant has sat upon it. But I don't suppose many of you use coupons, but if you do use coupons, remember that. Now, here's something rather important. You see the way this one's laid out. What causes trouble with readership is when you're making the, either confusing the eye or making the eye, misdirecting the eye. So in this case, and when it says don't block off two columns like this, people won't keep reading below the illustration. What I mean is that they might keep on going, right, read the first couple of paragraphs at the top and then go to the top of the next one, rather than going below that illustration. There is another point I'd like to make, which is actually in the layout you see there, but it's well worth remembering. Illustrations. What sort of illustrations should you use? Now, there we have an illustration. There are three types, well, there are actually four, I'm being a bit broad with one of them, but four different types of visual device, if you like, essentially. There is the cartoon. The cartoon is the least credible thing, but it tends to attract the most attention. So if you want to attract people's attention, but you're not bothered about credibility, you're not trying to make them believe something, then use a cartoon. If you want people to believe something, then use a photograph. I did test in the 1960s, in my first job as a creative director, I tested all kinds of things. One of the things I tested was the difference between a drawn illustration and a photograph, and the photograph of an identical scene increased response, as I recall, by about 50%, because it was more credible. This is important. If what you are selling depends to some degree on its looks for the success of your advertising or marketing. There is another form of visual device which will say the graph or the infographic. This is a good way to convey a lot of information quickly. Although I have to tell you that, and I blush to confess I don't know, because I haven't seen any research on this, but by God, when it comes out, I'll see it, probably. I suspect that many infographics are too complicated. That's what I suspect, and that they actually confuse more than they illuminate. They don't work very well for me as a human being, but, well, more or less a human being. But maybe they do for you, but that's what they're there for. So those are the four types of illustration. And that's the problem you have with blocking off columns with your headlines. The next example illustrates the law of gravity. When the headline is placed below the copy, people can't be bothered to move their eyes up to start reading. And you can see there people's faces. Don't forget, and I think I may have mentioned it all, I always have people in there because people look at people. Here's an example of where somebody's put a coupon in a way that it blocks off the column, in the same way that the example that I gave you just now, blocking off the column when we were talking about the illustration. So be very careful when you put things there. The next example, very, very important. You will see that the typeface that I showed originally had serifs. The serifs are those little feet that go along the bottom of the line, and they help to keep the person's eye on the line. If your eye slips down below the line, then you have a bit of a problem. Comprehension lowers. There are certain typefaces that were designed for the internet early on, when there weren't enough pixels to show those little feet, and they have the same effect as a proper serif face such as Times or Courier. They work very well. I think Verdana is one of them. You could see which ones they are. Get on the internet, study. I recommend studying. I'm not very clever, but by God, I've done a lot of studying. Next one, caps, setting things in all in capitals. Very popular amongst art directors and very stupid. And the reason for that is that if let you take my name, Drayton, D-R-A-Y-T-O-N, it has a shape. There's an A, and then there's a Y that goes down, and there's a T, so it's got a certain shape. But if it's all set in caps, it's got no shape. We recognise shapes, not individual letters, when we're reading. So those are important things about layout, and here's a little bit more. Essentially, anything that makes it easier for the eye works better. And you'll see there, justified, which is where both edges of a piece of column are, you know, straight down. That's the easiest thing to read. If it's ranged left, i.e. the typeface is butted up against the left, but on the right it's all ragged, that's a little bit more difficult. If it's ranged right, it's bloody hard work, because the eye has to adjust at the beginning of each line. And if it's ranged centred, very popular amongst art directors, that is insane if you want for good readership. So there are a number of other things that you might like to know. Number one large picture attracts more attention than lots of small ones generally. Two, a picture of somebody staring out of the page at you works very, very well. We're trained to look at other people looking at us. There's something in it. Three, if you put something odd in a picture, that will attract attention. Now, the most famous example is this one I'm going to show you, which helped to make David Ogilvy famous, and that's the an ad with a man wearing a black eye patch. People are wondering, what's it doing there? If you can put something in there that has people saying, oh, what's it doing there? That's very good. Next one, don't have too many extraneous props. Don't have a lot of things that distract from the subject. And I'm going to show you a picture now of a layout, and you would never know, because it's full of shoes, that it's selling a car. Yeah. It's absolute stupidity. So those are the sort of things that matter very, very much with layout, and it's just as important as knowing what matters when it comes to copy. Now, layout is just one aspect, the visual is just one aspect of what makes for successful communication. The core of communication is copy. Content, as they call it now, is everything. It's like pictures, it's words, it's pictures that move, pictures that flash, words that jump up and down, it's sounds, it's all content. But the important thing to do is to make sure that whatever your content may be, it is easily taken in.